The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Wherever you are on this lovely planet.
Welcome to Being Here. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
Collectively.
The Kane.
And we finish each other's sentences.
So don't upset yourself when we do that.
There we go.
We will.
You're asking them not to upset themselves? Don't ask too much of me.
That's the name of the show. Don't ask too much of me.
Yes. You know, people get in a habit early on of withholding, of holding back, of not wanting to consistently go for their lives with excellence. And today, this show is going to give you the keys to be able to be in your life with consistency.
So all you have to do is say yes.
Yes.
Really.
And what's the question?
Whatever the question is, all you have to do is say yes. So let's start with listening, because that's key. You know, most of us think we know what I'm about to say if you've listened to the show before. Most of us listen to our thoughts.
We
about what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really listen to what's being said. We listen to what we think it means. We listen to see whether we agree with it, which means you compare what's being said to what you already know. We listen to see if you disagree with it, which also is listening to see if what's being said concurs with what you believe to be true.
You check it to see how it affects your current agenda in life.
Absolutely. You also listen to see if you already know what's being said so you don't have to listen anymore.
Phew. That's a lot.
Isn't it?
Boy, do you realize how smart you are?
Could you do that in a nanosecond?
Amazing.
Amazing. Before our sentences are finished, you finish them in your own thoughts.
That's very cool.
Isn't that amazing?
However, with true listening, our definition is to listen volitionally on purpose, to fully engage, to hear what another person has to say from his or her perspective.
Now, you can train yourself to do that, and it will produce vast benefits in your life, your love life, your relationships, your job. Everywhere you go, it will affect the quality of your life dramatically if you just learn to listen to another from their point of view.
Yeah, we were on the international call that we do virtually every month, earlier in the month, and a gentleman came on who'd come with us to Costa Rica. And in Costa Rica, our winter immersion courses into instantaneous transformation, a lot of what we do there is tuning up our listening skills and just relaxing and being there and hearing what another person has to say. And this gentleman was telling us about this amazing thing that happened when he got home, that he was actually able to have a conversation with his son, who he'd been at least somewhat estranged from, that they had a conversation for over half an hour, and his son told him things he'd never heard before, that his ability to simply listen to what his son had to say, only that had profound impact on their relationship. So today, just practice listening and being here.
It's an incredible skill set that we all can use to get better at.
And trust us, it's not too much to ask of you.
Well, they don't have to trust.
Okay, don't trust
us. Don't trust us.
There are three principles. Ready?
Trust us. There are three principles. The first one is anything you resist that you say no to, that you don't like, that you don't want, will persist, it will grow stronger, and it will definitely dominate your life.
That's the first principle.
Right.
The second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment, and the circumstances can only be what they are, and they can't be any different.
Right.
In any given moment.
In any given moment.
And if you resist something, it consumes you. And if you allow it to be exactly as it is, it completes itself and ceases to dominate your life. And that's the third principle.
And I love that. I love that because because.
Because. We have a real-world example of it. We set a timer at the top of each segment.
And we set the timer, but we didn't turn it on.
We forgot to hit start, but you can't start it at the beginning of the segment if you didn't, and it's a fact, and that's the way it goes.
So we'll deal with it, and our engineer will keep us posted as to the time
there
to end the segment. So that's the three principles. We've talked about listening.
So do you ever wonder why you have kind of a stop-and-go quality in your life,
where you find yourself excelling, and then afterwards it's as though you can't seem to keep it up?
Or you have a dry period, or sales drop off if you're in sales, or you just can't seem to maintain momentum. I really think the way schools are structured supports that way of relating to your life. I mean, I spent all those years anticipating having vacations. So I should be able to work a bit, do my tests, and then I should be able to kick back and do nothing and then come and grumble that I have to go back to school and then have to gear up again. There's a lack of momentum in that structure. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of your minds are structured that way. And it could be as simple as that. We have a caller. Let's take her.
Oh, yes. Sandy, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Where
are you calling in from, Sandy?
I'm calling in from Munich in Germany.
Right.
Lovely to hear your voice.
I am so happy to be here.
Thank you.
The description of this radio show, when I read it, was like it just fits to the way that I've traditionally operated.
What about the description?
All of it, actually. There's this don't ask too much of me.
Sometimes right.
I feel like I have, I mean, this is a way that I create my life, too. I always have a lot of things going on at the same time.
And right.
I get very stressed, and I'm like, oh, I can't, you know, it's like a posture I take on so people know not to ask too much of me. So I just think about
this. Oh, that's great.
Show.
Yeah. If you show up great, then the next time you won't show up great, because if you show up great too much, they'll expect you to be great all the time.
Oh, yes. Yes. And the funny thing is, I've heard you often say to that, you know, when you, before you go to the doctor, you'll think about how you're going to describe what your ailment is.
Right.
And then it dissolves. I'm
right.
Thinking about the show because I read this a while back, and I was like, oh, I have to call in for this show. This is perfect for me. And I've been thinking of, you know, how can I phrase what's going on, and I've been seeing how I do this.
Well, how else do you do it?
No, this is great that you see it. Now, look.
Yes.
This. If you don't judge yourself for what you see, it's the end of this mechanical way of relating to life.
So far you've identified a posture that you have in order to discourage people from asking too much from you. How else do you do it? Or am I asking too much of you? You get confused, okay?
Yes, I will. I'll just be like out of, I can't react. It's just like, oh, this is, I can make mistakes. Sometimes I make mistakes just so, you know, it's
right.
Going too well. And then I'll make,
right.
Like, yes, in my
film. Yeah, so you do brilliant work. So
mm-hmm.
People, and we know you're a film editor. amongst other things. And so you'll do brilliant work as a film editor, and then you'll make mistakes.
Right. I have been catching myself doing that, and I'll correct it because I work on a computer, which, you know, you can correct mistakes really fast.
Right.
But I see these silly little mistakes that I just plant them in a way. They're automatic. They're not conscious. Well, I notice them now, so I can correct them before I send something out. But it's like a little trap that I make for myself.
Well, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were doing those little traps on purpose, if you were making these little mistakes on purpose, and if an earlier version of you set this in motion and it had value to that person,
what would be the value of doing that?
I think it has something to do with intimacy, actually, or just being, getting attention.
Okay.
It would get you attention. Yes, it would definitely get you attention.
Yes, but I think it's easier, or I see that I have it's easier for me to handle attention in a way that's not
as positive,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
So it's easier for you to handle negative attention, like for not doing it right, than it is for you to handle the attention of being brilliant.
Right.
I can see that, and I can see how that would relate to intimacy, that if you allow yourself to register another person's regard or seeing you as great, that there's an intensity to that.
Yes.
And there's an intensity into messing up, but it's something familiar that most people have survived over and over, so it may not be comfortable, but it's familiar.
Yes, and I can see that also in relationships that I don't have that anymore. Fortunately, my relationship now doesn't have these mechanisms, even though I try sometimes. But the intensity sometimes when it slows down or it gets a little bit like or in the past, I'm not talking about now, but when it would slow down and get a little bit maybe boring or not intense enough, I could see myself starting a fight or, you know, doing things that are irritating to get attention, to get some excitement going. I see this in other people. I say, oh, I used to do that too.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
See that.
Where you become an event fighter. You start a fight so you can have the makeup.
Yes. A friend was talking to me about his relationship recently, and I was like, oh, I used to do that too. Get all, you know, the whole storytelling about how the problems, it's an adventure to talk about, but it's...
I love you using the word the storytelling, because mm-hmm. before you morphed or transformed into the current version of you, you used to have a story that you were determined to prove right.
That limited you as a person, that was very limiting, like much less brilliant than you really are.
Yes, and I can see that it makes people around me feel less brilliant as well.
Well, if they trust you and then you mess up, then they were foolish for trusting you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So you're constantly proving them wrong for seeing your greatness.
Yeah.
And that goes very well if you have a story that you're not really great.
Or you're not capable, or you're not good enough, or you're punishing someone. I really see it. And in children.
Who would you be punishing if you weren't as great as you are?
Most likely my parents.
That's right. Most likely your parents. And you see, most of us human beings never get over being a child to our parents.
And then our parents may no longer be alive, but we'll find plenty of surrogates around us to fill the bill.
That's true. And we want them to know that they did it wrong.
Because if they didn't do it wrong, we wouldn't be so messed up.
That's right.
I love that you started with something, Sandy. You started with the idea that you have a posture that happens, because that kind of posture happens, posturing and getting funny is and pulling for attention is something that happens when you're a kid having a temper tantrum, and then it just follows us into later life. And for all those who are listening, in case you missed it, you should probably listen to the show again, but Sandy gave you the key. She said as she started planning to call into this show and started looking at how she went about this mechanical don't ask too much of me and seeing it without judging it, it began to disappear.
So that's the key. That's the third principle of instantaneous transformation. If you see it and don't judge what you see, it will complete itself.
And also I noticed not trying to analyze and understand what it was going over the past.
I love
that's
you.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Not trying to find out why you are the way you are, but just noticing the way you are.
And then going on to the next, because that was really a big thing, because I'm a person that really likes to look and understand and analyze and work on myself traditionally, and I've just been practicing not doing that.
Like, that's great. You know, we didn't say earlier in the show that our approach is anthropological and not psychological. And a psychological modality does analyze, and it goes to the past, and it looks at things for the reason things are. And with a transformational approach, it's about noticing what is without judging what you see. And that's what you're describing, Sandy.
And it's great. And it's like, and you say it so often, and I just thought I'd give it a go. It's like magic. And I said, well, maybe I don't have to understand it. Maybe it is magic, you know.
Well, it is magic if you let yourself be there with what's happening in your life rather than try to figure out why you're being the way you are based on your past.
You know, a lovely lady named Kim came to Costa Rica this year with us at the Winter Immersion course, and she wrote a wonderful thing, and I want to quote her. She said, transformation is magic, and each person is their own magician. And it's really the case, because you're your own magician. When you're here, your life transforms.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, you know, thank you so much for calling in today. It's been a pleasure having you on the call.
Well, what I love about it, Sandy, is you've become a partner with us in your own transformation, and you're looking and seeing as though you were looking through our eyes at how it is that you're operating. And by not judging yourself for what you see, you begin to notice that those things lose their power over your life.
And then you have a choice, and then you can have momentum in your life as
opposed
to that.
And then you can be honorable to produce outstanding results all the time, because it's not
difficult,
and it's not something you have to succumb to.
So
absolutely.
And on that note, we're going to take a break. Thanks for being with us, Sandy.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Excellent.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be back, everyone, after the break. So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shaya Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shaya's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to
receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Canes' fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes' books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. In case you're interested, in New York City, our next course is called Simplicity, How to Dissolve Stress, Fear, Worry, and Guilt. It's March 9th through 11th, and you can find out more about it on TransformationMadeEasy.com. And for Sandy, if she wants to come in Germany, we're coming to Hamburg later in March on the 29th, and we're offering the Freedom to Breathe and The Secret of Wonderful Relationship, March 30th through April 1st. And that you can also find out more about that on TransformationMadeEasy.com. We have another caller.
Eric. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Eric.
I'm calling from Boston.
Awesome.
The USA. I was listening in, and Sandy's brilliant. And when I first thought about the theme of this show, I was thinking about how I have thought that being great is such hard work.
How old were you when you put that together?
That being great is hard work?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You probably absorbed it with your mother's milk, eh?
Yes. That's
such hard work.
Yes, and yeah. So I find that even now I'll have what I still have these sort of stretches of when I feel like I'm really great, but I can almost anticipate that there will be pit stops or times where I hit a bump and I'll see myself not being great and think that's my natural state, and that being great is something I have to ramp up to, and I can only do it for certain amounts of time before I run out of greatness.
I have
to
right.
Get off to the side of the road and refill up with greatness somehow. It's a strange analogy, but it feels real.
You know, it's funny. I remember when I was a kid, a friend of mine's father asked this friend of mine and myself to sort through a box of screws and nails and separate them out.
Uh-huh.
And we did it for a little while, and then pretty soon it was too much like work, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that if I didn't do it, he'd never ask me to do it again.
Uh-huh.
So if I failed at doing it well, he'd never ask me to do it again.
And you'd get out of work.
And I'd get out of work. Exactly. It was the perfect way to get out of work.
to a kid, work is awful.
Well, yeah, but I kind of need to work to make money. And I
well,
like
you're
I
no did. Longer a kid, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's really interesting that you say it that way, because I work.
And
incidentally, we make money.
We make money, but we don't work to make money. We do what we do because that's what we do.
As a passionate expression of ourselves.
Exactly. So we're not doing it to make money.
You know, it's really interesting, too, Eric. There are plenty of opportunities in our life for us to make more money. People invite us to affiliate programs with them, but they are not offering products that
we can endorse. So we don't. So to make money, we don't do that because we'd be prostituting ourselves to make money that way.
Or sometimes people want to come to things with us, and we encourage them to do something else if we feel that's in their best interest. There are things that our life is not about making money. And I find it interesting in a way that the way you put it, you're succumbing to work.
And
really, I know it's a passion of yours.
Right. And when we say succumb, we mean doing it as though it's not your idea and complaining to yourself that you have to do it or that you're doing it at all. You complain to yourself about it rather than realize that it's what you chose to do and do it as though it were your idea, and do it where you're winning as a result of it.
I have to say that, A, you're right, and B, my thought was that if I just did what I wanted to do without thinking about the money part, I feel like thinking about the money part adds a lot of weight to me, adds a lot of stress, and,
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
But that's because you stress yourself.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not saying anyone's doing it to me. I'm saying that I notice, or the thought came up while you were talking about that. I was like, wow, I really do make myself crazy thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. You make yourself crazy thinking about things, but that's just, see, here's the thing. Our approach is anthropological. You were raised amongst people who made themselves crazy around money.
Yes.
And victimized themselves.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
And if you see that, then that's the culture you were brought up in. It's the language of that you learned as a way of relating to life.
And that language is not something to get rid of. That language is your springboard into excellence.
See, I am totally confused by that.
Well, see, change says you identify something as wrong, like this victimology, and then you try to get rid of it. And with transformation...
But you see, the first principle of transformation is anything you try to get rid of, you're stuck with.
Right.
And you can only have the enculturation that you have, Eric.
And so that's your starting place. That's your basis to function well in the universe. If you don't reject it...
Because there's no part of you that's wrong. In change, you're trying to fragment yourself off and get rid of the icky parts and only keep the good parts.
But with transformation, it's all good.
It's all inclusive.
What is. It's not even good. It's just the way it is. And if you can allow yourself to be the way you are, you become powerful in your life. If you start picking on yourself for how you are, you disempower yourself. You take your power away.
So can I put it into specific terms for my life to
just
make sure I get what you're saying? It's so rather than, I guess, rebel against my mother and my father or see that as, oh, my God, I did that. I hate that about myself. Or I
right.
just go, oh, wow, that's how I was raised.
Exactly. But with no judgment. It's not about good or bad. And when you said it, you didn't even have much judgment to it. When you said, wow, that's how I was raised.
Well, as I'm talking to you, I think this is what transformation is. While we're talking, I kind of just got light about it.
That's right.
And because, Eric, you're this great guy. And this great guy was dipped in a cultural dye, but that doesn't make anything about you wrong, even that culture. That culture is part of what has you be this great guy. You wouldn't be you without it.
Okay.
You don't have to get away from you.
Okay.
You know, it's really exciting.
Well, you guys know me really well because everything you're saying is just truth. There's nothing for me to say about it. I mean, it's nice to hear that I'm a great guy, but I know me well enough to know that.
Okay, I got something for you, though.
Okay, go ahead.
You operate as though you can only handle a limited amount of transformation at one time.
Okay.
So you'll come to a weekend, and then you'll stay away for a long time because, you know, you gotta think about what you got. Rather than have that abandon where you surrender to your life and just discover in the adventure of how it's showing up who you are, not trying to hold on to who you thought you were.
You know, I really see how people let their life in and out in a trickle.
Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you said that. I'm sorry, Ariel, but I was kind of stuck with what Ashaya had said.
No, please, please.
And because I have a couple of, well, you know, many friends in our community, but a couple of, one of my friends and I were talking on the phone, and they were asking about my project, which I had started, and then it's kind of not gone anywhere, this bringing transformation into New England.
Hey.
And I've had several people basically contact me and say, what can we do to help you make this happen? And I kind of have done what Shia has said. I mean, part of it could be a logistical, well, I don't get to New York that much, but I can set it up so that I can have things happening up here. Maybe I could create a whole transformational community up here.
Well, one of the things that happens is you second-guess yourself a lot. So you really get these flashes of impulse and insight and genius, and then you take it away from yourself.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Is that too much work?
Can I afford it?
I don't know how to do it.
Yes. That's true.
And it's simply a habit.
And if you see it
and don't judge it,
as we said to Sandy, it'll start losing its power over your life.
God, I was going to ask you, well, how do I?
That's how. The how is to not do anything but to notice how it is that you interact with your life and don't judge yourself for that.
Yeah, and one last thing about it, Eric.
Yeah.
It also could be something that you began to do as a kid in order to get attention, because then people are calling you and asking, you know, it keeps people's attention on you, where if you just give yourself to your job, to your life, to what you've set in motion, people aren't wanting from you.
But that doesn't mean you won't get the kudos that you want anyway.
No, I totally see that. It's the I don't
Excellent.
Need to say anything to it. You're absolutely right. Hey, thanks for having the show and letting me call in today.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent. Thanks
for being here.
We got to go. We got another caller on the line.
Excellent. Let's take her.
Lenore.
Are you with us?
Here. Yes.
Hi. Where are you calling
from? Hi. I'm calling from New York, from the Bronx.
Excellent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was just listening, and I realized that there are times in my life where I am really, I don't know, I think I have a complex kind of brain. Like, I really want to sort things out and do things just so. And when you talk to Eric about abandon, I would love to have that.
What does that mean? What does living life with abandon look like?
I feel like I would be more self-expressive rather than edit myself so much.
Well, yes, you probably would. See, you edit yourself because you're trying to do it right. And if you're trying to do it right, then you could do it wrong. But you see, be different than you are in this moment of now. Oops, too late. The moment went by. If you can't be different than you are, you can relax because you can't do your life any different than you're doing it. And if you get that, suddenly it's okay to discover your life rather than try to do it right.
Wow.
You know, we were talking at the beginning of the show about how facile people's minds are and how they can do all of these different functions in a nanosecond instead of listening. Well, you can do that as you're expressing yourself as well, Lenore, where you do these little fact checks. How am I doing? How am I doing? How's it coming across? Do they like me? Will they like me? Rather than in our minds can toggle like that, rather than just simply with abandon, express yourself.
Be yourself. Now, I know that this is difficult to understand because you've lived your life with this complex mindset where you're constantly checking in to try to produce what you think people want from you.
Yes.
And alternately, to withhold what you think people want from you. Because from time to time, you will get upset and have a temper tantrum, and that's what makes your relationship with your husband volatile in the times that it is.
Yeah.
Because going for approval, the coin, if you have a coin in your pocket and you have heads and tails on each coin, the going for approval
side
has the going for disapproval side.
Wow.
You there?
Yeah. I'm here. It's so funny. My brain's going, whoa, this is, I feel like I've probably heard that before, but it feels like it went in a really different way.
Yeah, see, there's nothing to do. There's no place to get to. Then you can really be where you are and discover what's appropriate rather than try to figure out in advance. And you've got a very quick mind, so you're constantly trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I feel like... Like, even now, part of me is like, I don't want a lull. I want to be, you know, I do. I want to say just the right thing. I want to present myself just the right.
But you see, there's nothing wrong with you for that, Lenore. It's just the way your mind particularly works. And there's nothing wrong with that. As soon as you stop picking on yourself for that, it'll shift.
It's like what we were saying to Eric about his culture. That's your culture. Your culture is to try to please or alternately try to bug. Which is really kind of exciting when you see it.
How do you see that? The exciting part, I'm missing it a little bit.
Well, that's because you judge yourself. But look, we got to go to a break now.
Can you come back with us after the break?
Definitely.
Excellent.
Okay, so come on back now and don't miss being here.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club.
ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
And you know, the name of the show is Don't Ask Too Much of Me.
Something Lenore said, we'll go back to Lenore in a moment, that really touched me when she said, wow, I've probably heard that many times before, but it went in a different way. That's why we suggest that you keep immersing yourself in transformation, whether it's to pick archive shows and listen to them or pick up our Working on Yourself Doesn't Work book or the Being Here book or How to Create a Magical Relationship or on the Premium Excellence Club, which is our subscription series where you get to see a video of us working with people each week in your inbox. There's something about when you immerse yourself in
consistency
with this reality, things happen easily and you get deeper levels of well-being as opposed to just a dip and then losing it for long periods of time. Still with us, Lenore?
I'm still here.
Good.
You know, the real key, Lenore, is as you see yourself again, to not judge yourself for what you see.
Yeah, because you're perfect. There's nothing wrong there except in your thoughts about yourself, which were put together by a much less sophisticated, advanced, capable version of you. You know, as a child, we came up with ideas about our abilities and our qualities and what we are good at and what we're not good at that we then live a lifetime proving ourselves right about.
Yeah.
And we're also impressed upon by the people around us. So these thoughts that you have aren't even necessarily yours. They came along with the package of the enculturation.
Yeah. You know, I was visiting with my sister recently, and I can actually see that in her, too. And in some ways, it's easier to see in my sister than it has been to see in me.
What is it that you're seeing in her?
That she doesn't recognize that she's great just the way she is.
Right. Very good. Well said.
And you can see it because it has your familial flavor.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you see, yeah, it's easier to see in her because you know how great she is.
Yeah.
It's obvious to you how great she is. So when she says, oh, you know, but I'm not really that good at this, you know she's off.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were speaking with Eric in the previous segment. Were you listening to him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one of the things he was talking about is how his friends have been calling him up and encouraging him to keep going on plans that he had. And one of the things that I've used community for is to support me in knowing who I am when I lose sight of it. And so also, if I make a plan to do something, I'm likely to tell lots of people because I don't want to disappoint them by not following through. So when we've worked on book projects, for instance, if we get an editor to work with us, We always try to match or exceed when they're hoping to get chapters from us because we don't want to thwart their enthusiasm. And it's a different way of relating. It's partnership as opposed to hierarchy, which is how we've often been trained to resist the boss.
Yeah, change is hierarchical.
And transformation
is partnership, relationship.
I love that. I really do.
Hey, thanks for calling
in
today.
Thank you so much.
Really a treat speaking to you.
Ditto.
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 The caller.
Let's take him, shall we?
Sure.
Mac, where are you today?
I'm calling from Aventura, Florida, near Miami.
Excellent.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
The world is Mac.
Boy, when I looked at this theme today, don't ask too much of me. I really had so much fun with it. It is an old thing that goes back to when I was a kid. It's really funny to see.
Well, what did you see?
Well, I can remember as a kid, I was an only child till I was about 8 when my brother was born. And during that time, both my parents worked, and I spent a lot of time alone. But when they would ask me to do something, I had all these visions of don't ask too much of me. I want to go play with my stuff and do other things or go build forts in the woods or do whatever. And I saw just scores and scores of times that I did that over time. And, yes, if I didn't do what they asked me to do, the theory was I'd have more time to play or something.
Or they would really stop asking you.
I liked what Ariel said.
What'd she say?
She said, well, they'd stop asking you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can see that. When we used to ask our kids to do things, and they drug their feet,
It was easier for us to just do it rather than even ask them, because that way you didn't have to aggravate yourself when it didn't get done.
Right. And I also saw that I combined something else with that, too, as I got a little older, which was the don't tell me what to do. And the two things combined were not good for partnership, that's for sure. But it was really interesting to see that. And I can see it even now that I've got vestiges of that I see that I even do today. You know, don't ask too much of me. I want to go play, or I want to go do something else, and it doesn't serve me. So it's really neat to see.
Well, I don't know if it doesn't serve. Yeah, you did everything. It sounded all fine right up until the windup.
Oh.
Because you're not a stupid man. So it's got to be serving you. We only do things that serve us. When it doesn't serve us anymore, we don't do it. So there's got to still be some value in it.
Ah.
Well, you know, you said something that caught me about combining don't ask too much of me with tell me what to do.
Right.
And your first two marriages, if I'm not too badly mistaken, failed.
That's true.
And it failed for that reason.
Don't ask too much of me and don't tell me what to do.
Because those things don't support relationship. Now, your current marriage has been very successful. So,
and part of it is because Ellen is smart. You'd tell her what you weren't willing to do, and she'd nod and go, uh-huh, and she'd go ahead and make the plans to do those things anyway. She just didn't tell you about it. She knew how to do an end run around it.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I can see that. And lately, and especially since Costa Rica, I've been practicing saying yes, and that makes all the difference. My goodness.
Well, I have a question for you because you just caught me with something there. You say you've been practicing saying yes. Have you been practicing saying yes, or have you just been more a yes to your life?
What you just said, just been more a yes to my life.
Because you see, practicing yes is like the opposite of saying no, but being a yes to your life, you notice that you're just saying yes rather than telling yourself to.
Yeah, that's what's been happening. It just came out practicing it. So that's, yes.
Yes, but I just wanted to clarify it because, see, if you're practicing something, then you're telling yourself how to do it, and then you're not just being appropriate to your life. The same conversation that you listen to that says no isn't just now saying yes, but it's out of opposition to no rather than just being yes.
That's very cool. Yes.
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool.
I actually, you know, we spoke to Sandy earlier in the show. I'm assuming you were listening.
Yes, I was.
And I know she comes from a very different background than you, and she actually lives in a different country than you. But there's a similarity in you, in a way, that...
How so?
Well, for many years, you had a story that you were proving right. And I really think a lot of don't ask too much of me is, for many people, they have a story that they believe about their insufficiencies that they are proving to themselves over time. And it's offensive to that story, not to you, but to that story, if someone were to suggest to you how capable you are.
Right, right. Or I've been motivated on many things over time, and sometimes if it's something that I want to do, I just go ahead and do it. But when somebody credits me for it or something, you're right, or I get a little embarrassed about the achievement or something. That happened a lot in school. If that makes any sense?
It makes sense. Because if people start praising you and your internal conversation is one that says, I'm not very good, then that threatens that conversation.
Right, right.
And you want to be right about your opinions, including your opinion of yourself and your self-limiting ideas.
You know, and that may be one of the things that set Sandy up for those mistakes that she was talking about earlier. Somebody praises her, and that idea has to prove itself, reassert itself to be right, because it's offensive, the idea that you're great, if you have in place an idea of your limitations.
Well, then there's some other things. There's a socialized background where if you are great and proud of it, you're considered a braggart
It's got to be one of those deadly sins.
Yeah, it's one of those deadly sins.
What is it,
Mac?
Pride.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that. It's pride or, you know, excessive pride or something like that, almost to the point of being arrogant and haughty and all those things, all the negatives.
Right. So, how can you get into heaven if you're haughty and prideful?
Yeah, I got to hide that greatness stuff.
Right.
Wow. It's hard to articulate, but it just feels like this has been a theme for me for some time.
Most of your life.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because we know you. You're one of our oldest, dearest friends. I don't mean oldest in age, but oldest that we've known you the longest.
Right.
We've known you. Were we married when we... Yes,
yes.
Right at the beginning of our marriage, like in 1984, I think, is when
we met
you.
Yeah.
And you've often struggled with your greatness. And you were the head lawyer or the general counsel of a Fortune 500 company. But I recall during that time there was a period where you were actually much more comfortable being the second guy than you were being the out front guy.
That is so cool. I was thinking about that before the call, that one of the things I noticed that I've always been comfortable with being the number two and not so comfortable being the number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quivering a little bit just thinking about that. But at the same time, being comfortable being number two, knowing that I could be the number one and just not going for it has been something that I have done.
Right. You justified not going for your greatness.
Wow.
somehow you could justify it to yourself.
And you've done great things in your life, including that, but you've got a lot of life ahead of you.
Yeah.
And there's whole other additional possibilities.
Yeah, it's and being a yes to what's going on, I mean, Ellen and I were in Costa Rica for 2 weeks, and it started there, but just being a yes, I just feel so much more alive than I ever have.
That's great.
And I don't know where it leads, where it takes it, but I keep saying yes.
Well, that's important, because you see, the thing is this. A lot of people, once things start shifting, they want to slow it down so it doesn't happen too fast because they won't know who they are.
Or they'll say, oh, I'll come to one of the Cain's workshops when I really need it, but I don't really need anything. They don't give themselves what they want.
And they don't know what's possible because, you see, transformation is something that most people have not had the direct experience of being themselves in the current moment of their lives. They have thoughts about their lives, and they're lost in their thoughts. So they think they know what transformation is, but they don't have the experience of it.
Right. I have, and I'm still discovering it.
That's right.
Well, one thing I admire, actually, about all of you who called in today, but I'll speak to you directly, Mac, is that you're not calling in because you have a problem. You're calling in to discover what's possible. And I don't mind if people call in if their things in their lives are appearing problematic. That's totally fine. But I really admire your devotion to living an excellent life.
Thanks. I mean, life has never been better than now. I mean, I want to be clear about that. Things are going great. And it's just, I just have heard you say before, and that's just the beginning, or there's more possible, and I'm just very interested in the more possible.
Well, so, here's the thing. To discover the more possible, you got to be willing to be with what you got.
Yep. Yep.
Don't be looking for more possible.
Okay.
If you're looking for more possible, you'll miss the current moment, and this is where it's all taking place.
You know, our friend Andrea in Switzerland started a new game recently, and I really like it. And she was inviting some of us to play via email, and I'm going to tell you about it briefly because we're ending the show. The game she's playing is Everything Matters.
Sure.
And I encourage you to just be here as if everything right here, right now matters rather than the future.
Yes, what you're up to in the current moment is what matters. The future will take care of itself. Very well, thank you.
That's great.
Hey, Mac, thank you so much for calling in today.
Yeah, we got to end the show here. But
thank
you. Y'all come on back.
Yeah, that's right. We'll do a little. Mac, you can help us, right? Y'all come on back.
Come back and see us now. You hear?
And you
don't
miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Cain's website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.